Our study this afternoon is going to be a little different than what we usually have. I get this brochure. It's called House to House, Heart to Heart. In fact, it comes here to the church. Still got John Modulin's name on it. No, it's our neighbor. Used to have John Modulin's name. It comes from the East Ridge Church of Christ in East Ridge, Tennessee. And every month when it comes out, there's some article on the... There's several articles in it, but usually the premium article is on the front page. And it's always something that's very interesting. And this particular issue that came out about 4 or 5 months ago, the article is, "The Big Bang Got So Many Things Right." And then it continues as the folly of attributing design to randomness. It's by a man by the name of Alan Webster. And Alan says most of the information comes from a website, Astrobiology, NASA, Gov, Media, Media Library 213, and a man by the name of Dr. A. Kresge Morrison, who wrote a book, Man Does Not Stand Alone. So, I'm taking their information as fact. I didn't verify any of this, but I'm taking their information as fact. And that's what we're kind of going to go over tonight. We're going to talk about this Big Bang theory that got everything so perfectly right. And then we're going to discuss the folly of this. As a verse to set this off, we can go to Psalms 19:1. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." This article that Alan wrote is written in a sarcastic way. It is very tongue-in-cheek. When he talks about the greatness and the wonder and the perfection of the Big Bang Theory as considering the creation of the world and humanity and all the things that come with it. He says that since modern science today has described the creation of the solar system and the creation of man and the creation of the stars and the heavens and everything that we know in creation, they says it's nothing but a mindless, accidental evolutionary process that has taken from hundreds of millions of years to billions of years. And, of course, they have no proof of any evolution in the last couple of thousand years, but for millions and millions of years, we evolved from creatures out of the sea. And everything that we know in creation happened one day when all of a sudden, from nothing, there was a big boom. And from the big boom, all these gases united and created the sun and the stars and the moon and the earth and all of the planets and humanity and all life and everything. It just happened. A mindless, accidental process, a big boom, and from that we now exist. And Paul, in his picture this morning of that little spot in the skies where thousands of stars are all clustered together, to think that all of this happened just by some mindless, accidental something that happened is mind-boggling. But yet this is what the world and the scientists want us to believe. And of course, they want to do this to take away the deity of God. If they can take away creation, then they can push the humanitarian thing. And if there is no God, then there can be no heaven, there can be no hell, there can be no condemnation. We simply do what we want to do. It's amazing, though, as Alan wrote in this, how many things the Big Bang, this accidental mindless thing that happened, how many perfect things that it accomplished when this creation or this production happened. And he goes on then to talk about the earth, the planet earth, and life on planet earth, and how the world, the earth, was created in such total perfection that for these millions and hundreds of millions and billions of years, it just continues to roll along in absolute perfection. And human life, it just happened. It's just by chance. It's just part of this Big Bang theory. The wisdom of the world is the way we would talk of this, and of course the wisdom of the world is foolishness. But for a little while this afternoon, I want to go down through this article that he wrote, and I want to talk about some of the things that the Big Bang says was created accidentally and mindlessly, just happened. and how it is such a terrible mess of foolishness that the world is trying to get us to believe, to deny God. Let's go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. It's been some time that Jeff had a lesson not long ago. Well, it's been several years ago, I guess, now. But he was talking about this evolutionary thing and this Big Bang thing and how it works. And if I remember it, and I may be missing it, but if you took a big bunch of letters and got up on the roof and just started pouring those letters out, box after box after box, and each one of those letters that they hit the ground wrote the Webster's Dictionary in perfection from one end to the other. If you could believe that, then possibly you could believe in this Big Bang theory. But we're going to talk about some things on Earth, some exact perfections of Earth that show the foolishness of every bit of this. And this article, I will admit, it's written in a very sarcastic way. It's written tongue-in-cheek. I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. I like the way it's written. But it does make a point. When he speaks and he says the Big Bang Theory got so many things perfectly right that we should worship and believe in this foolishness that the science is trying to teach and does teach in our schools, our grade schools, our colleges, and tries to make us believe, and it is nothing more than foolishness, but it's referred to as the wisdom of man. And of course, we know what the Bible says about the wisdom of men. I want to give you just a few points that he has listed here that tells you how impressive this Big Bang Theory was and the perfection that it achieved when this mindless, accidental, not expected happening just happened one day, this big boom, when everything was created from nothing. When this happened, the earth was created. They created the stars, they created the heavens, they created the planets, the moons, they created the earth and everything on it. But when this big boom happened and all of this stuff was accidentally, mindlessly created, the earth happened to be put in the exact position in the solar system where life could be, where it could subsist, and where it could be sustained. The earth was put in exactly the only position in this vast, vast solar system where it was exactly the right distance from the sun. You know, the sun is the heat that we get, and heat makes energy, and heat sustains life. And so when the earth was created, this big bang put the earth exactly in the solar system, exactly the right distance from the sun so that we could have life on the earth. Liquid water then allows chemicals to be transported. Energy is released. Heat is energy. And the reactions of metabolism, human metabolism, and all the chemical metabolisms could take place. Liquid water is transported and allowed to dissolve chemicals. And we know that water has to be between approximately 40 degrees and maybe 200 degrees. Because if you get much colder than 40 degrees, water freezes. And when you freeze water, it does not mix. And when it gets over 200 degrees, water vaporizes. And when it vaporizes, it will not mix. So when the earth was created, it was in the exact position from the sun so that water would stay within these ranges so that there could be metabolism and there could be life, you know, 10% either way. And we get into a position where it's either too cold or too hot. Mars and Neptune are far, far too far from the sun. They're entirely too cold. Life can't live on these planets because they're simply too far away from the sun. Those that are closer to us from the sun are just deserts. They're just burned because the life is so hot that life cannot be. But when this big bang happened, this accidental explosion, the earth was put exactly in the right spot in our solar system, exactly the right distance from the earth, from the sun, so that life can exist and can be sustained on this earth. You know, our moon is relatively close to the earth, but yet the moon scientists tells us, and of course they've got a much faster rotation, they've got about 15 days of a high up to 200 plus Fahrenheit and to a low of 243 below zero Fahrenheit. Just the distance that it is and its rotation from the sun, there's that much difference just between us and our moon. The Earth also rotates at an exact, precise speed. The Earth rotates eastward, the science tells us, every 24 hours it will rotate, and it rotates counterclockwise from the North Star. The North Star never moves. The North Star is always there. And the Earth rotates counterclockwise at an exact speed so that it makes a revolution exactly every 24 hours, and it's been doing this for the 100 million or 100 billion years that the Big Bang has been in existence and in the evolution, but it continues to roll at the exact same pace, and it always has and it always will. They say if it was 10% off of this rate, that the length of days and the length of nights would increase to the fact that nothing would grow on the earth because the long, long days of sun would burn everything that was trying to grow. And if something should grow, then the long, long nights that this rotation would make would cause for everything to be frozen. Vegetation would burn up during the day. That it didn't burn would freeze during the night. So the rotation of the earth has to be exactly right. And we know that it is precise. Scientists use the rotation of the earth for precise measurements because it is so exact. And to think that this accident caused and put this earth in the exact right spot with the exact right rotation, and it has been maintained with perfection all of the many years that it has been in existence. That's what he says. We need to really think this Big Bang theory, it was sure right when it came to this. He also then talks about the size of the earth. He says the radius of the earth is some 3,963 miles at the equator. 3,963 miles is what the earth is. The circumference of the world is right at 25,000 miles if you would go around the earth. The surface of the earth is about 197 million square miles. It says that the perfection, the size of this earth, is able to make a perfect, constant gravitational pressure upon the earth of some 15 pounds per square inch. Now that's pretty good pressure. We've got a pretty strong gravity. That's why when things fall, they fall at a rate. That's why the water stays on the earth. That's why the atmosphere stays above the earth, because the gravitational pull of the earth is right according to the size, and it stays at about 15 pounds per square inch. Then he says if the earth were the size of the moon, which of course is much smaller, that the gravitational pull of the earth would be 1/6 of what it is upon earth today. And you couldn't keep water on the earth because there's not enough gravity to hold it down. You couldn't keep an atmosphere above the earth because there's not enough gravity to hold it there. And we would be open to all of the elements, just changing it as much as to make the earth the size of the moon. Then he says, if you were to double the size of the earth, the force of gravity would be doubled and the atmosphere would be compressed, and there would be no way in the world that anyone could breathe with this extra heavy pressure. Then he makes another comparison. He said if the earth were the size of the sun, the gravity would increase some 150 times, and this would increase atmospheric pressure to over 1 ton per square inch. Life would be completely, absolutely, any life, impossible to exist with this type of pressure. And then he said, isn't it a good thing that the Big Bang got the earth the perfect right size without any deviation so that we can maintain 15 pounds of atmospheric pressure and life can go on and can be sustained upon the earth? The next point he makes is that upon the earth it was created with both water and carbon. And he said these are two things that are absolutely essential for life. Carbon is a building block, and this is a block that complex organic molecules are built of. Water, of course, if it's in the right degrees, as we talked about earlier, water is necessary for all chemical reactions. And he says if the earth was once part of just a huge mass that exploded, such as the biggest thing, which would be our sun, why didn't all the water on the earth evaporate or burn up? How is the water retained upon the earth if it was part of the sun? And again, he said, boy, the Big Bang Theory pulled that one off real, real well. Very, very impressive. All the chemicals that are needed are upon earth to build life and to sustain life. Then he talks about the moon. He said the moon is about 239,000 miles away from the earth. This 230-mile range, the gravitational pull of the moon upon the earth, and the moon controls the oceans in our earth. It says that this gravitational pull that the moon has upon the earth allows the oceans to move in and move out twice a day. That keeps the oceans running and keeps the beaches clean, scrubs the beaches every day. And this has happened consistently because the moon is consistent in its orbit and it's consistent in its pull at 239,000 miles. Now we know the Bible says that God stops the ocean where he wants it to stop, and that's where he maintains it. But the Big Bang Theory seems to think that this moon was just established and put perfectly at 239,000 miles away from the earth, and the gravitational pull of this moon controlling the oceans is able to control it, so the oceans go where they're supposed to, and then they go back. If the moon were 50,000 miles away, he says, instead of 239, he said twice a day, all the continents of earth would be totally and completely submerged. And then he adds, the Big Bang thought ahead and got it right when it decided to mindlessly, accidentally blow up. Then he talks about the atmosphere of the earth. The atmosphere, the density of the atmosphere that covers the earth, all the way around the earth, that protects the earth. He says this atmosphere is the exact right thickness and the exact right density. And because it is exactly right, then the ultraviolet rays from the sun that comes through that warm the surface of the earth and allow for this greenhouse effect, this retention. It keeps enough pressure on the water so that the water warms and cools. It reduces the temperature extremes and colds because the density of the atmosphere is exactly what it's supposed to be to kill these ultraviolet rays. And of course, ultraviolet rays and sunlight would destroy if it were not for the density of the atmosphere that filters the sun. It serves as a protective blanket, shielded from deadly radiation. Radiation that the sun puts off that if it ever reached the earth would destroy every bit of life, human, animal, plant, and all. And UV light, we know, can break down and damage and destroy. Mike put us a UV light back up in here so that it would kill the bacteria as the air conditioner runs, keep it out of our air. UV is a killer. But yet our atmosphere is the perfect density and thickness so that these UV light rays are absorbed and it doesn't get to earth in a strength that it can hurt us. And then I like this, what he said. He said our atmosphere is just dense enough to protect the earth from 20 million meteors that enter it daily. He said these meteors traveling at speeds of about 30 miles per second would destroy all earth and destroy it quickly were it not for the strength and the thickness and the density of the atmosphere. And you know, you think about all the stars that are there and you see the shooting stars and you know there's all sorts of space junk up there and you know there's all sorts of space dust. Some of these meteors are very small, some of them are big, some of them have hit the earth. But were it not for the density and the strength of our atmosphere, we would be bombarded daily by these things to the point that the earth could never exist. Then he goes on and says that the earth's atmosphere is perfect to sustain life. He said dry air is about 78 parts nitrogen, and I did not know the nitrogen level was that high in our atmosphere. I'd never studied that. But he says that the air level is about 78 parts nitrogen, about 21 parts oxygen, 0.93 argon, 0.04% carbon dioxide. Now, if I'm thinking right, the world is telling us now that this global warming is because the carbon dioxide is getting too great, but yet the carbon dioxide in our atmosphere actually is less than 1/2 of 1% of our atmosphere. Anyway, Too much nitrogen, the body would slow down. It would become so heavy and so slow that all functions of the body would soon, very quickly, cease and death would follow. If oxygen were increased, and oxygen is an accentuator, it gets things going. If the oxygen was any stronger than the 21 parts, that we would literally burn ourselves up with the oxygen that we have, and life could not be, and it could not be, could be sustained. And then he makes another very extremely important point that I'd also never thought about. He said nitrogen is the primary element in all and every explosive. So we're sitting here looking at air that is 78 parts nitrogen, and we're looking at air that is 21 points oxygen, and how in the world this Big Bang happened when this accident happened, where the nitrogen that is extremely explosive is able to mix with oxygen that is explosive in the right amounts. How did it keep from blowing everything up? How did we create life without blowing things up? And again, he said, boy, it's good this Big Bang theory knew what explosions were and was able to avoid this danger. He talks then about the tilt of the earth. He said the earth is tilted on its axis 23.5 degrees. This tilting, plus the revolution around the sun, creates the seasons of the earth. Now God said when he created the world that he created the seasons. In most places upon earth, not counting the two poles, in most areas of the earth, this natural rotation at 23.5 degrees gives a very healthy balance of time so that you have spring and you have summer, which gives us time to grow and to plant our harvest. And then we have enough time in the fall and the winter that it can soak up moisture and lay idle. And he said, well, we really need to thank the Big Bang Theory for putting the earth at the exact tilt so that we could have all four seasons continually. What else can they dream up in the way of foolishness so that they are able to deny the existence of God as the Creator? And they expect us to believe this stuff. It is absolute foolishness that anyone could come up with a theory of a Big Bang theory and explain creation, and anyone that can believe in evolution has got to have a far, far more faith than anyone that believes in God as the Creator. So he concludes this little article. He said, instead of believing this foolishness and putting our faith in the wisdom of men and in science, he said, maybe we should just believe in the scriptures as they're recorded in the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. God created the earth. This Big Bang theory was created by the devil. And we need to avoid it and realize the foolishness of the wisdom of men, and believe and put our trust in what God has told us as a Creator. That's all I have to say. Let's have a song of meditation. Come forward if we can.